We're ready to hear the next presentation. All right, this is going to start the public testimony portion of the meeting. We have so many people signed up to speak that we're having to allocate 3 minutes to each person, and we'd appreciate it if you'd hold applause or cheers or whatever so we can kind of crank through this. If there's anybody who would like to defer to when we meet again at 5:30, 5:45, we'll put you first on the list to testify. So if your name comes up and you'd prefer to speak the first thing this evening, just let us know and we'll put you down that way. They're going to read three or four names at a time so you'll be alerted to where you are in the rotation. Thank you. Yes, proceed.
Yes, my name is Ed Rosenberg. I'm a resident of the town of Woodstock. I've lived there. We moved to the farm in Bryant Pond in 1955. I'm part of the Woodstock Conservation Commission. The first few slides that I'm going to show you is the work that we did as part of the open space plan for the town of Woodstock. One of the things that's been brought out is how interconnected all of these towns are. If you go down 232, if you get to the Gore Road from there, going on 232, you, in the next 3 miles, you go from Woodstock to Bethel to Milton to Rumford, all within 3 miles. So our views, everything is all interconnected. And one of the things that's kind of the backbone of that stretch of 232 running parallel to it is exactly where that Bryant to Chamberlain Mountain corridor is. On the Woodstock Open Space Plan, what we did was begin with the end in mind, and we were looking at the conservation resources that preserve the quality of life and character of Woodstock for future generations to enjoy. We use the beginning with habitat planning process that's part of your plan also that really kind of informed the direction. And one of the things they really suggested was, what is it that you want the town to look like in 50 years? So we asked, what do you love about Woodstock that you would like to see preserved for future generations? And we did several mini focus groups, but also with the Lakes Association, and then with the Woodstock Elementary School fifth grade class. And they, we asked them that question, what do they love about Woodstock? And each one was had a rock, and they took and drew something on it about what they liked. And they talked about snowmobiling, they talked about fishing, hunting with their grandfather, they talked about skiing, cross-country skiing, snowshoeing, and they talked about the loons, in the wild, natural wildlife and habitat. And they talked about the peaks. And they talked about how they loved that the mountains came right out of the water and that there was nothing on top of the ridge lines. And it was timeless. So they were hoping that when they grew up, that throughout their whole life, they'd be able to do all of these same things that they've enjoyed that other people have to drive hundreds of miles to come and experience. And they realized how fortunate they were that this is what they were doing. You know, they were able to do in their own backyard. This is the Woodstock Elementary School. It's you see the summit of Chamberlain Mountain is less than 3 miles from the school on Rumford Avenue. There's a nature trail that runs from the side of the school, and it connects to the multi-use trails up on Buck's Ledge, Lapham Ledge, and Moody Mountain.
Chair.
3 minutes. Your time is up. I'll give you a couple more minutes, but you need to summarize this.
I'm going to show visual slides, so I'm just going to go through them.
Oh, that's fine.
So this is what I'm talking about. This view right here is an iconic view. Goes back is over 100 years ago. I've got pictures that show the same thing, and you can see it's lined with cottage, but you can't see a single one of them. It's what they love. They love this ridge line and the way it looks from water. What will the legacy be? This is large blocks of adjacent open space between Lapham Ledge and Chamberlain Mountain. The bat cave that you talked about, there's visual evidence of it. I'm not going to read the slides. You'll have copies of them. Scenic views that give Woodstock its unique identity. This is an important piece. It was from the center of the September 2006 issue of Down East Magazine. It talked about five spectacular state views for fall foliage. The dock in the foreground is in Greenwood. What you see on either side is in Woodstock, and what you see in the back, all the way to the back, is Bryant to Chamberlain Mountain. This is right off Route 26. North Pond kayakers, this is the upper end of the same pond. North Pond, that's the ridge right there that you're going to see. 3.5 miles from this important resource where there's tons of paddling. Chamberlain Mountain from Greenwood Town Beach and South Pond, sticking up on the right. Chamberlain Mountain to Bryant Mountain. This is on the other side, on the east side.
I think we've got
away from Big Pond, Concord Pond in Woodstock. This is the Androscoggin River Trail from that you've already heard talked about, looking down to this area. This is Chamberlain Mountain from 5 miles away at Little Concord State Park below. This is Mount Zircon with 100-mile views. It's 3.5 miles from Chamberlain and Bryant Mountain. This is the views from top of Mount Abram, where you can see Bryant Mountain to Chamberlain Mountain. And then Mount Abram ski area is on the left is the North Pond, on the right is South Pond. And this is the most important thing I want to talk about is the aspect. This is your last comment, would you please? This is the conservation school. I think it's a cultural icon in the whole entire state of Maine. It is in Down East magazine in 2013, and named the Youth Conservation School the best wilderness camp in the state, referring to the camp as throwback to Camp Cibole. Over 1,000 youth come there every summer. There's a Northwoods camp that the wardens put on for 120 girls, 120 boys each year. It's also the location of the Telstar Freshman Academy. This has been in existence for 60 years. They use all of the same places we just talked about, the Christopher Mountain, Buck's Ledge, Lapham Ledge, North Pond, Androscoggin River are all used as outdoor classrooms for these kids and their experience.
Thank you. Would you read the next four names and so people will know?
Yes. So the next four names, and if anyone would like to, there are more people signed up than could testify in this next block, and some folks will need to be testifying in the evening. If any of the people whose names I read would like to defer, because they're going to be here in the evening anyway, and let someone else go, please just let me know that. So the first four names are Warren Hellquist, Alice Barnett, Marius Wierzbicki.
Please come up.
And
the
Mike Dunn.
I've already spoken.
Okay. Warren's already spoken. Okay, so Alice Barnett, Marius, Mike Dunn.
Alice.
And then Nancy Marin.
You can take a seat. Try to keep it to 3 minutes. Can we use a stand-up? It might be easier. You can stand right up to that. Well, hold it down to you then. Not yet.
Is it on? Okay. All right, I'm Alice Barnett. I live in 1068 Dickfield Road in Peru, 1 mile from Milton Plantation. I'm addressing unreasonable adverse effect for the state of Maine wind energy requirement goals. Carthage, Maine, it's on the back page, I have a map there, won the ownership of a contested Saddleback ridge top. That can open up for 12 more turbines right in this area. Rumford, Maine, voted to drop ordinance and go with the DP standards, hoping to get turbines in that town, so that opens up another 12 to 24 turbines. Roxbury, Maine is already contemplating hosting 3 more bigger turbines than they have. Dixville, Maine can host 12 more. They dropped their moratorium last night, or Monday night. Canton, Maine broke ground this summer, so there's 12 more. So there's 60 turbines in this area. We do not need Milton's, okay? In my second page, I have a photo of what I feel for an effect from Spruce Mountain Wind. It's a turbine wake, and that's 3 miles away. And that's done. Can I ask a couple questions? Is that allowed here? I didn't know where to ask it.
Ask your question.
Okay. Ms. Brown said that there's a complaint response protocol, and most of that is a hotline. It's an 800 number that you call. And usually the developer mans that hotline, okay? So that can be a big problem when you really get compliance problems because they tend to not write them down and take them serious. Okay, now the appeal process on this one is the same as the DEP. How would I appeal this if I had to or wanted to?
There is an opportunity for appeal. I would suggest if you're looking for the simplest answer as to the process. There's an overview document on the commission's website that identifies how that works. And the reason I point that out is when you talk about appealing a wind power permit, there are unique features in state law that deal with how that's appealed, and that wouldn't apply here. So I'd look at our website, and that would be the best starting point for you. No, you wouldn't wait for it to go into a permit, but you'd wait for there to be a commission decision.
Okay.
Would you read the next name, please?
Yeah. Marius Wurzbicki.
Ladies and gentlemen, I thank you and this great democratic nation for the ability to address you today. You are appointed by our publicly elected officials. You took an oath of office to uphold the Constitution of the State of Maine. The Constitution of Maine is modeled on the Constitution of this great nation, allowing each and every citizen the right of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The issue before you, as pointed out by Sarah, you should focus on that issue. That's a nice summary. The legislature of the State of Maine passed a law several years ago, the Expedited Territory Law. In their wisdom, they realized that this law excludes the voice of the people, putting forth a new law allowing the people to speak and remove that territory from the expedited list. The people of Milton have spoken. More than double the minimum number of respondents signed the petition requesting you to remove us from this expedited territory. I've heard a lot of wonderful things from the wind side. Unfortunately, I find a lot of things to be half-truth. Since there's only 3 minutes, I will not address any points. But remember, it was the tobacco companies that told us smoking is healthy for you. It's good. Go buy another one. I applaud Mr. Buck for his pursuit of happiness, financial happiness, by making money on this land. But you need to look at the impact. Does the financial happiness of one or two or three override the financial happiness, the life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness given by our Constitution for the population, for the majority? Thank you.
Thank you. Next. Please say your name and where you're from.
Yeah, my name's Mike Dunn. I've been a resident of Milton Township on the Roger Farnham Road since 1985. I skip a bunch of this since it's been covered already. This is just a statement of fact, and my biggest concern is the quality of life we've come to enjoy for the last 30 years. The total distance between Route 232 and East Milton Road, where most of the residents live, is a little less than 2 miles. The proposed windmill site is right between the two. Everyone who resides there will be right underneath them. My wife and I, along with 11 other households, reside on the Roger Farnham Road. This is a dead-end county road on the East Milton side. All of us on this road will be between 3,800 and 4,800 feet directly east or southeast of multiple towers. Our quiet little community will now listen to the cyclical swirl and the approaching plane that never goes away sound of multiple turbines 24 hours a day. Now, we know this for a fact as we have stood on the Shag Pond Road and listened to that sound from a Spruce Mountain turbine that is a greater distance than our setback will be. Being very familiar with the lay of the land, we are also very concerned that the Roger Farnham Road is the most likely access up to both mountaintops. If that were the case, our current family-friendly dead-end road would become a heavy construction superhighway. None of us made our home there with that in mind. Appreciate your
thank you.
Serious consideration.
Thank you. Next.
Okay. So the next, I incorrectly read Nancy Marion's name before. She had not signed up to testify. So the next four names are William Waite, Colin Campbell, Marcel Pollock, and then Lynn
Just
Macaloni.
Step right up to the mic.
All set?
Yep.
My name is William Waite. I live in Milton Township. I'd be on the... My name is William Waite. I live in Milton Township. I'm on the east side of this project going up. I do have a bunch of stuff that I want to say. I'll condense it just to a paragraph.
And you can submit that, too.
And I'm going to do that. Yep. Yeah. There's some scribbling on here because I did a little bit. So. It's a large font, though. Milton Township and surrounding areas have a great scenic, recreational, and habitat value, which is why people, when discovering the area, try to purchase property here when available. That's why I purchased property in the area and decided to make our home. The views are exceptional from any mountain in the area except Bryant Mountain, which is closed for any access. Mount Zirkin to the east, Mount Zirkin to the northeast, and Buck's Ledge to the west provides excellent views for those who wish to hike them. I am pretty sure those mountains will not be used as much as they are now if industrial wind towers are erected on Bryant Mountain, Chamberlain Mountain, Billings Hill area. I know this will be a fact because I have seen the tremendous decrease of use on the trails to Bald and Speckled Mountains to the east of Spruce Mountain, which since the wind towers were erected on Spruce Mountain. So, and I'll leave this one. Actually, the snowmobile and ATV in an area will not be affected by the wind towers, but the people who purchase and rent property in the area for these activities will probably go away. People simply do not want to look or listen at these things, including myself. And I'm the president of the ATV club, and also I have been involved with the snowmobile club for the last 7 years.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Next.
Colin Campbell. Okay, not seeing Colin Campbell, then Marcel Pollock.
My name is Marcel Pollock. I'm a 37-year resident of Woodstock, and I'm also a real estate broker. I'm here to speak in support of removing Milton from the expedited area because of the negative economic and scenic impacts and threat to the character and sense of place of this area. As part of my master's degree thesis in natural resources management, I did a scenic assessment of this area. It included a methodology used in scenic assessment handbook produced by the State Planning Office and written by Terry DeWan, a landscape architect. He was one of my thesis advisors. Buck's Ledge, the view that Ed showed, that was also highlighted in Down East Magazine, was number four of 31 high-value sites that I picked and scored. There were numerous other sites in my study that, like Buck's Ledges, would be severely impacted by the Milton Project. The Buck's Ledge viewscape is clearly a high-value scenic area. Views have economic value, and in my strong opinion, would negatively impact an already anemic real estate market. The primary demand in this area is for second homes. These buyers have many choices and can easily move to dollars elsewhere. Now that this project has been proposed, I will be required for the next 3 years or as long as it's being in process by state law to disclose the possibility that there are going to be wind towers. And because of the lack of details, I am unable to provide any specificity to anyone on any properties in Greenwood, Woodstock, Milton, and possibly Bethel. So there's just a lot more inventory out there than what's selling, and people can just move elsewhere. So I strongly also believe that landowners whose viewscapes are impacted are going to have a very challenging time selling their properties at current market values. This will be a permanent taint for the life of the project. You heard from Mr. Hillquist that he counted 119 homes that would be potentially impacted. For the record, I want to disclose that I was a broker for Patriot Renewables when they did this project. I had to weigh, as you did, the benefits and the losses, and this project will have a lot more losses and a lot more people impacted, both public and private, people whose lands, whose properties are going to be impacted, and also the public who comes here for the tourism high value, tourism value, and the scenic resources. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Who's next?
Lynn McAloney. Lynn McAloney.
And who's after that?
James Martin.
You want to line up, James, if you're here? Go ahead.
Hi. I'm Lynn McAloney.
Get right close to the mic.
I'm Lynn McAloney, and I am one of the residents of those 119 homes in Milton. And I am asking you to not remove us from the expedite. Some of the comments earlier talked about goals of habitat and being scenic versus forestry. And we have heard from one forester today saying that the forestry business is declining. And we need more ways to sustain ourselves in Milton to stay viable. Other comments have to do with being able to recreate. We are still going to be able to hunt, fish, canoe, kayak, ski. I don't see how the wind towers are really going to be that effective or detrimental. Those who ski at Sunday River are still going to travel Route 26. They see the Spruce Mountain towers. Seeing a few more isn't going to keep them from skiing. One of the comments that was made earlier, the lady mentioned that visibility of the turbines is not enough to remove from expedite, so I'd like to just bring that back out to the focus. And that's
thank you.
Pretty much it. Thank you.
Thank you.
So James Martin and then Thomas Hemingway will be next. Then Thomas Hemingway will be next.
Step right up to the mic.
Thank you. I wrote a letter to all of you today. It's very short. I'm writing in regard, this is to the commissioners for the LUPC, I'm writing in regard to the activity in Milton Township pertaining to the removal of the expedited status in the proposed wind tower project. I support removal of the expedited status from all of Milton Township, and I oppose the proposed wind tower project. My reasons are simple, yet the decision process is complex as we all balance many delicate issues and personal feelings. Therefore, we must think in the long term rather than the immediate short term, as the long range effects these two matters will have on the citizens of Milton Township and all the surrounding communities. When I first moved to Milton Township about 20 years ago, I saw the whole region as a wonderful place with its pristine beauty and friendly neighbors. Geologically, it is the site of a former lake formed millions of years ago, but after the last ice age, the lake drained out, leaving what we call today Milton Road and the short, flat areas on either side of it. The mountains form a natural bowl as a reminder of what it was like, but more as proof of the geologic wonder we all witness today. I do not want to see these beautiful mountains ruined by wind towers. The proposed project puts Milton Township in direct path of the prevailing westerly winds. or on the downward side, the downwind side of the giant rotor blades. In most cases, there'll be sunset flutter and audible noise. Therefore, I ask the proponents of the project and the landowners whose property has been chosen for this project to please reconsider. And I also ask the commissioners to please remove Milton Township from the expedited status.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So Thomas Hemingway, and then the next person will be Paula Lamb.
I'm Tom Hemingway, and
you're tall too.
Yeah. Okay. And I just recently moved back to Milton in January, not knowing this was going on. If I had, I would never move back. I've lived in town for 20 years, and I wanted to get out of town, get back to the serenity of the country. And if you want to see what Milton is like, come up to my house, get on my ATV, I'll take you up on the trail. You're looking straight across at those two mountains, and you have a view of the White Mountains, the whole works. It's beautiful, but it's not going to be with those ice roads up there. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you.
So, Paula Lamb, and then the next person will be Connie Haas.
We've got to line you people up by height. Next time we do a public hearing, we'll do it by height.
Good afternoon. My name is Paula Mills Lamb. I currently live in South Paris, Maine, although I was brought up in Bryant Pond, a village in Woodstock. I am a third-generation woodland owner here in western Maine. I currently own woodland in Bethel, Greenwood, and Milton Plantation. I came into the family forest management business when I received my first woodlot as a gift from my grandfather on my 13th birthday. To date, in my family, both my grandfathers, my parents, my 10 aunts and uncles, my 3 siblings, and at least 11 of my cousins have all been woodland owners. We have owned and managed, purchased and passed down, planted, pruned, and harvested many thousands of acres in Maine's working forest over the years. The vast majority of those thousands of acres remain to this day, after 3 generations, still part of Maine's working forest. My father ran the family forest management business from the kitchen of our home, so the business was always being discussed, over breakfast, over dinner, really always. And of course, many of my father's business conversations with others were overheard by the family, as not only were we generally around, but because we only had one crank phone in the house located in that kitchen. It also seemed like it took forever to get anywhere in the car when I was a kid, as we always had to get where we were, wherever we were going, by way of whatever woodlot, logging job site, or mill yard my father had on his mind and wanted to take a look at that day. When I became a landowner, my formal education in the family business philosophy began. We referred to our family philosophy as stewardship of the land. We understand that the land and all it offers exists for the benefit of everyone in the community, whether they own land or not. It's a privilege to be an owner and thus the steward of the land, and with that privilege comes responsibility. A primary consideration of that stewardship philosophy was to do no harm. Do no harm to the land, the health of the forest, the streams, brooks, rivers, or ponds.
Excuse me, can you summarize?
Yep. I'll get there. And stewardship is a big responsibility which requires doing the right thing today, but also looking forward to the future, changing times, and making plans to diversify. Today we're considering the future use of land in Milton Plantation, and I have signed on as a cooperating landowner. This project will have some benefits to me directly. However, my main motivation for supporting the project is that I'm convinced that it's critical to the future quality of life for all of us in that we explore wind energy as an alternative to fossil fuels and reduce the effects of climate change. So I urge the committee to keep Milton Plantation in the wind power expedited zone.
And you may submit those papers if you want.
Okay.
Thank you. Who's next?
Connie Haas, and then the next name I'm having trouble reading. I think the last name is Buck. I think that starts with an L.
It What's your agenda?
Llewellyn. Okay. Okay. And then after that will be Lee Graham.
Okay, my name is Connie Hawes. My name is Connie Hawes, and this is Joe Buck, Llewellyn Buck, but everybody knows him as Joe Buck. We're for the wind project, and we believe it is one of the most cleanest and sustainable forms of energy that is readily available to us. It's a renewable energy source that will not pollute the land or release any toxic emissions, and cannot be depleted, leaving the environment in a healthy condition. There would not be any transportation problems, such as, which would eliminate, sorry, I'm nervous.
That's all right, take your time.
There would not be any transporting of fuel, eliminating any potential dangers of explosions, like we've seen in Lac-Megantic, or any oil spills in our oceans. We believe the project will benefit the town of Milton economically by providing funds for road improvements and possibly getting cable or internet services. It would provide the schools with funding for extracurricular activities, which would benefit the parents and possibly give more opportunities for the students. It would add to the tax base, decreasing our tax burdens, and provide jobs during the construction process. In keeping consistent with local development and the state of Maine requirements, there is an existing transmission station located right on Route 232, and also another wind project already existing on Spruce Mountain.
And could you summarize what you have left?
Although we know that this project will not completely alleviate our dependency on foreign oil, I think it is a step in the right direction and a good economical opportunity for Milton Township and adjoining municipalities, as well as the state of Maine goals in finding alternative energy sources.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next.
Lee Graham, and then after that will be Charlie Nielsen.
Hi, I'm Lee Graham. My husband and I own a small organic vegetable farm. We have 72 acres, and 10.5 of those acres are in Milton. But our house puts us in Woodstock, and we are voting residents of Woodstock. The westerly side of our land is Chamberlain Mountain. Siting a wind farm in a township such as Milton really fails to take into consideration the effect on the surrounding areas. From our house, because the mountain's right behind us, we probably won't see the towers, but with the prevailing winds, we can surely hear them. And up until today, because we're not Milton residents, we've had no say. We couldn't sign the petition, but we certainly support it. The Land Use Regulation, Land Use Planning Commission, I guess I'm old, as I understand it, is empowered to uphold the goals and values of sound land use. As primary stewards of Maine's land in its unorganized territories, you are responsible to preserve the land for Maine's future. That responsibility cannot focus on just one sparsely populated township. That township is not an island, as I think has been made very clear here today. It is connected, just as our land is connected to the surrounding towns. Because so many and such a large rural area will be affected, the commission should use the full permitting process and time to learn of all the possible effects of EverPower's proposed wind farm. There must be time for scientific investigation of the effects of the wind towers on scenic views, on wildlife, on human health, and on land values. I respectfully request that the commission remove the request of the EverPower Wind project from the expedited process. Wind may have a place in Maine's future, but every effort must be made to ensure that it's not implement that when it where it is implemented will not cause harm.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So Charlie Nielsen and then Scott Gould.
I'm Charlie Nielsen. I live on the Farnham Road in Woodstock, which is a short road at the end of the Milton Road. Some of my land is in Milton. My land is at the base of Chamberlain Mountain. My land and home are directly east of both Chamberlain and Bryant Mountains and well less than a mile of the proposed wind project. I live closer to the proposed project than the majority of Milton residents. The constant and prevailing westerly wind will undoubtedly channel unpreventable wind tower noise to my home. This is a great concern to my family's well-being and our way of life. As you consider the values and goals of land use for Milton, you should also consider how, in this case, what happens in Milton also happens in adjoining towns. I request that you remove Milton from the expedited process in regards to EverPower's proposed wind project in the interest of further regional impact study and more solid information from the petitioners. And I might add that what Mr. Hillquist said about how the Spruce Mountain Wind Project only impacted a few people, but he also went on to say it impacted them severely. And the topography is exactly the same. I'm at the base of the mountain. I'll look right up to the towers, and I know that the noise will be severe and unavoidable.
Thank you.
So thank you.
So, Scott.
We don't have an applause meter, folks, so whether it's loud or not at all, then it would be preferred not at all.
Scott Gould here? Then Christopher O'Neill, and then Kay Michka.
Who's next?
Is Chris O'Neill here? Oh, sorry.
Commissioners, thank you. Chris O'Neill, I'm here.
Please step up to the mic.
Chris O'Neill, I'm here from Friends of Maine's Mountains. Friends of Maine's Mountains has opposed, been a party to, or intervened in licensing proceedings for almost every grid-scale wind energy project that has been proposed in Maine. And it's no secret to most of you that FMM opposes grid-scale energy pretty much categorically, because any objective look at the numbers and the economics shows that grid-scale wind has much higher impacts than it does benefits. FMM is concerned about our climate and the challenges therein, and FMM seeks greater use of clean energy, but none of that really matters today in this room. FMM has assisted many of the communities who chose to participate in this 2016 opt-out process, and I want to take a minute publicly for the first opportunity we've had, Mr. Chair, to commend the staff, particularly Tim Bocage, for his handling of what was, for many people, lay people, a rather daunting process. So kudos to the staff and to Tim. I think about a Latin term that comes up once in a while. It's ignoraci elenchi, that your legal staff can define for you, but essentially it means to argue something that doesn't matter. It's the old thing where somebody would say, do you walk to school or carry a lunch? As the commission's review considers whether Milton's opting out of the expedited area would trigger the two relevant criteria, FMM urges all the parties to remain focused on those criteria and not to be distracted by lots of other arguments that may or may not be true or valid, but whether they're relevant. The substantive comment that you've heard, material comment that you've heard that appears to be anti-development relative to one particular project is borderline germane, and that's your determination. I actually asked you to rule on that earlier today, and I accept the ruling. But what that discussion affirms is what the petition itself told you, which is what the will of the people in this principality want. The wind goals. Maine set the statutory goals at a time when oil was approaching $150 per barrel. Our country was all messed up in a war in Iraq, and things were looking bleak in Maine. Hasty task force assembled the wind.
Can you summarize it for us?
I certainly will. Assembled the wind goals and put them into statute. But let it suffice to say that the removal of Milton Township will certainly not affect the achievement of the wind goals, and it absolutely will not unreasonably affect those goals. The final point, Mr. Chair, is that it should be noted, and this commission and the former Land Use Regulation Commission had a history with wind development, and that is that four wind projects on the grid scale were permitted before there was an expedited process, and they sailed through. One failed to be permitted, but it was a horrible project that most people in the industry would argue would never be proposed today. So the fact that a principality will be opted out of the expedited area does not necessarily mean that it will prevent wind development.
Thank you. Who's next?
Kay Mitchka, and then after that, Janice Marks.
Either one of you wish to speak.
I don't see Kay here, so we'll skip over Kay for the moment. So Janice, and then after that, maybe Cindy Candy, yes? Okay, we'll go with Candy because I can't read the last name either. Okay, thank you.
Perfect, thank you. I'll be brief because pretty much everything's been said. I moved up here to Woodstock from Florida where it's hot, flat, and crowded, and I don't want to be anymore. I'm a native Floridian, but I live and love here in Maine. My husband and I are in Woodstock, and there is nothing about this process that should be expedited. There is too much here that needs to be reviewed and looked at carefully rather than taking the word of a company or even these people here. I can tell you land values will plummet. We looked for property in Maine for 15 years before we decided to move up here and retire early. Anytime we looked at property that was being considered under these circumstances was being dropped. People did not want to buy it. And if my realtor had told me this prior to moving here, I wouldn't be here. I'd be spending my money in another town somewhere else, not in this beautiful environment. Secondly, and most importantly, is the bat issue. And I know it might not be big to a lot of people here, but bats are a huge part of this agriculture. They have not rebounded enough to get efficient studies to see the impact of this. So yes, you can go out and do bat counts and see how many bats are being killed from the windmills, but the reality of it is we've had a significant drop in the bat population due to the white nose syndrome and some other issues. Until they are able to rebound and we know what their populations are going to really be, we cannot even evaluate the impact of these of the turbines. So for that reason, nothing about this needs to be expedited, and we need to take our time and do our homework and get all the appropriate information and have it be accurate and not on people's
Thank you.
So after Candy,
I'm sorry. Did we get Candy's full name?
Candy Podolsky.
And how about the prior speaker's name?
Janice Marks.
And I'm after Candy will be Ron Floyd.
Okay. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. I'm Candy Podolsky, and I moved up to this area 22 years ago. I live in Woodstock, right on North Pond, and just fell in love with this area and think it's a tremendously beautiful place. And I would really love to see this expedited process eliminated, because if we're going to do something like this, we have to do it carefully, and we have to do it with thought and consideration, and we have to remember that we're not the only species that lives here, and the bats are a very important species, but so are many other birds that we don't know about. So I really challenge you. I mean, when I first moved up here, my family and I used to go out on the canoe at North Pond every night in the summer, and the bats would just swarm around us. And it was just a vision of beauty. And as the years went by, they started to dwindle. And if surveys come back and say one windmill will take one bat, I say that's one bat too many. And I really hope that you will think this through very carefully. Thank you.
Thank you.
So Ron Floyd and then Stan Dodge.
Hi, my name's Ron Floyd. About 8 years ago, I bought a piece of property off of Milton Road. And I bought it because when driving down here, I was just absolutely enthralled by the pristine, untouched character of Milton Plantation, of the valley that I would like to retire to one day. Milton Plantation is the only home that I call my home. I have worked and lived all over the world. But it's the place that I want to come back to. It's the place that my heart desires to come back to over and over and over again. And I really think that it's a beautiful place that we need to protect. There's an old saying that when I was a kid I used to like, it's better to ask forgiveness than ask permission. That seems like, you know, the point of view of the wind companies, that, you know, we'd prefer not to have to ask permission of anyone. Why not, you know, go through the regular order, the regular process that allows people, not just the environmental protection agencies, which are just there to, you know, enforce regulations, but allows, you know, all different sorts of viewpoints to be heard, and allows local people to have input and to know exactly what we're talking about. We're not talking about this particular wind project. We're talking about wind in the entire region. And, you know, this is 12 turbines. You know, maybe someone else says, oh, we're going to throw up another 12 turbines. So we're asking simply that we have that regular order that allows, you know, our beautiful valley to be protected. And I hope all of you commissioners will take that request seriously. Thank you
very much.
Stan Dodge, and then the next speakers will be Jeremy Payne and Mike Daigle.
Everybody, my name's Stan Dodge. I own 143 acres. I'm Stan Dodge. I own 143 acres up off Billings Hill Road, 43 in Woodstock, 100 in Milton Plantation. That 100 would be part of the wind project. I am here, obviously, to talk in favor of leaving it in the expedited. Your letter said specifically to address your A and B issues, which I will, but I would like to say a little bit about why I have made the decision that I have. I bought this land going on 18 years ago. All my family was originally from Maine. I always wanted a piece of property here. I have four grown children. We all use the property. I built a house on it and a barn. We use it for vacationing. Kids use it for camping. They've been clearing hiking trails over the years up Chamberlain. The top of Chamberlain is in the middle of my 100-acre piece, by the way. We love the land, and I have always had it in tree growth. As such, it is used for trees, for wildlife, for hiking, for snowshoeing. I have given all the neighbors who have asked permission to hunt the property, permission to use it for four-wheelers. One of the things that bothers me about some of what's been said is that this is just going to, that the view of these turbines is going to wreck the place. In theory, I could do a lot of things, like clear cut the whole property, subdivide and develop it, a junkyard. There are all sorts of things that could happen with this. I actually came to the conclusion that this project was the best way to preserve and keep in accord with the state's land use policy that land as is. I was approached 2 years ago, and I did an enormous amount of research. I could not find any of the negative things that some of these people have talked about, and I talked with over three dozen people. My children were all in favor of this. They said, Dad, it's the right thing for the world. It's the right thing for the country. And please go forward with it.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you. Who's next?
Jeremy Payne and then Mike Daigle.
Jeremy Payne, Mike Daigle.
Good afternoon. My name is Jeremy Payne. I'm the executive director of the Maine Renewable Energy Association. We're a trade association based in Augusta. We're strongly supportive of allowing the landowners the ability to monetize their land. And obviously, one of the ways that they're able to do that is potentially through leasing payments for a project such as this. That is exactly the type of approach that the legislature envisioned. That is certainly was not changed during the 2015 law that brought forward this concept. We think it's important that the state should be able to move towards its wind power goals. Certainly, this project would help us move in that direction. We would ask that you remember that this area of the state, and certainly rural Maine in general, is very familiar with harvesting its natural resources, whether that's at least, especially in terms of energy, whether that's biomass, hydro, or in recent times, wind. We think that this community, we think that this county in particular, Oxford County, is familiar with these types of projects, has seen the benefits, and we'd love to be able to see the investment, the employment, and the clean energy benefits continue to flow into Maine. So it's not just about this project, it's about the others that follow. So you have to bear in mind the signal that we're sending to the investment community if we pull this community out. It's not just one project, it's the entire signal we send to the investment community. Do we want jobs, do we want investment, or do we want to create an unpredictable regulatory process?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next.
Mike Daigle. And then after that will be Dwayne Benham.
Good afternoon. My name is Mike Daigle. I live right down the road in Rumford Center, and I work for Chimbrow. I'm here today to speak in support of the Bryant Mountain Project. I'm originally from the Millinocket area and still visit up there frequently, and you can glaringly see the impact of loss of jobs and impact on the tax base if you visit that area. I think we need to take advantage of the investment developers are willing to make in the area for the benefits of the tax base and employment. I graduated from Maine Maritime Academy 30 years ago and have worked in the energy industry ever since. Biomass plants, gas turbine plants, hydro. But for the last 8 years, my family has been supported by the wind industry. 4 years with Vestas Wind, and now 4 years with Chimbrow as a maintenance manager. Chimbrow built Spruce Mountain. We've also built the Passadumkeag Wind Farm, and as we speak, are building Pisgah Mountain up in Levant, Maine. We've built farms in New Hampshire, Groton Wind, Rothrock in Maryland, and Georgia Mountain in Vermont. We also do wind farm maintenance. I have crews working right now in New Hampshire and Maryland, and in the past year have done work in Massachusetts, New York, Pennsylvania, and Ohio. So we're exporting Maine talent, Maine people, working on projects in other states, which is very unusual. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
So Dwayne Benham, and he actually, oh, okay. You signed up for evening because we crossed out before dinner. Do you want to go now?
I can give a couple of things, but I have a couple of pictures coming from the car.
Would you rather testify after dinner?
After dinner.
Okay. And then Lloyd Billings, and then Tracy King. And then that's the end of the list for now.
Okay. Hi, I'm Lloyd Billings. I've been in Milton Plantation for 53 years. We raise livestock, beef, sheep, cows, every type. If there's so much wind, what's going to happen to them animals staying in their pens? And I know with Lurk, I used to cut wood for 29 years. And when we found lizards, we couldn't cut that property. Now you're saying they're killing bats and they can still do what they have to do. And a couple more things is I'd like to rest on my porch and listen to the birds, not listen to windmills. And I don't know what's going to happen. We got one road in, one road out. It ain't like we need a new road. We don't really need much of anything in Milton. It's quiet. It's nice. And I don't know. It just seems funny that we have to go this route. And if you change the ordinance for Milton Plantation, then you have to change the ordinance for all the other plantations through the state. So shouldn't they have rights to be here to vote? Because if you let them pass in Milton, they're going to pass in every other plantation through the state. And it ain't right just to blackball them under the rug and let them come in Milton, and then they want more in other plantations, because that ain't how it should be. And that's all I say. Thanks.
Thank you.
Tracy King.
Hi, my name's Tracy King, and unlike most of the people who've spoken here today who have a vested interest in this wind farm, I am a full-time resident in Milton Township. What initially drew me and my husband to Milton was the fact that it was an unorganized territory. There is no economic development. We like the quiet and the remoteness and the stars at night and the abundant wildlife. I'd like to echo what's been said here today, that we are stewards of the land. We do pay taxes on it, but we don't own it. We're going to leave it to our, we're just borrowing it from the next generations. And like Mr. Buck, I would like to leave it to my grandchildren also. Please remove Milton Township from the expedited process. Allow Milton the same opportunity that surrounding towns have had and continue to have to substantive reviews of this proposed wind farm. Thank you.
Thank you. I believe that's the end of the...
So I note that Kay just walked in, not to put you on the spot, Kay. Do you want to testify after dinner? Okay.
I'm staying the whole day, so yes, sure.
Okay.
In that case, we're going to stop the hearing and take a break, and we thank you all who testified and look forward to hearing from the rest of you. We'll be back at 5:30.